Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. Daddy is coming. How's everybody tonight? Praise God. Blessed and highly flavored and favored. I just want to stay drunk the rest of my life. Would you turn to the book of Malachi? Woo-hoo. Turn to your neighbor and ask them if they got it. Did you get it yet? Now you can't share your own oil, you know. You have to get it yourself. There's a price to pay. Glory. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Glory. Whew. Is everybody there? Good. I'm getting there. Let's speak it. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, the Lord of the army. Because they're battling their way here. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. It's like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. Those are priests. Are you called to be a priest? And he talks about purifying us. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord the offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, and in the day of old, as in former years, I will come near you for judgment. Okay, he says, I'm coming near for you for judgment. Why? Because of the purification. That's what he's been talking about. This is what we've been in. Amen? How many of y'all know the world's being judged? It's under judgment. The body of Christ is under judgment. Amen? Again, it's for purification. He says, I'll be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, and those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they did not what? They did not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Again, he's talking about, this is probably, he says, I'm going to prepare, there's my messenger. Everyone says, I'm the messenger. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord by his judgments on humanity in the exposing of corruptible sin and defilement, by awakening and driving back and removing, by his cleansing power of conviction, chastisement, purity, and love. I'm going to say that again. You know, many don't realize how many are defiled out there. He says he's preparing the way. He's coming. His judgment. Again, his judgment is shaking and stirring on all humanity. He's exposing corruptible sin, defilement. He's doing an awakening. He's driving back. He's removing. And he's cleansing. And he's using his cleansing power of conviction, chastisement, purity, and love. And after a person gets convicted, and they go through a chastening because they've repented, amen, now they're able to receive a purity of God's love. He's preparing his way to the harvest. We are going to have a very large harvest. And Matthew 11. I can tell you that the Lord revealed many years ago that he would first come through the body before he personally came. So he's going to pour out his spirit. He's going to release it. And through the body of Christ, he will express himself. It'll be a preparation for the great harvest. And then Jesus will come and take not only the harvest, but the bride home. In Matthew 11, verse 1. It's pretty amazing. Because we have heard so many things over and over and over about Jesus coming, Jesus coming, Jesus coming. I've been hearing this since I've been born again. And I know he's been in preparation for his coming. But I've never experienced so much of the reality and awakening that he is coming. You know, our last gathering in the presence and the worship, we stepped on a bridge of time. It brought us across. There was actually time cut out. So God, even in the Word, it says that he shortens time. In other words, if it wasn't for the time of being shortened, many would go astray. And so in this right now, we're seeing that just happened. Last week, God cut time and shortened it. That means things are going to move faster. We've advanced over already. We're already in the new season. And now we're saying it's finished to the old season. But in this transition, there will be a refining transition. Again, all this is a preparation and a judgment of a stirring and wakening and a quakening and to bring things to the surface so that the eyes of man may see, the ears of man may hear, and the heart of man may repent. Amen. In verse 1, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming, the one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go tell John the things which you hear and which you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And they departed. Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, "What do you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among all those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He is Elijah who is to come. Why? Because Elijah hasn't come yet. Elijah will come most likely with Moses. In the day of transfiguration, when Jesus went up to the mountain, and three of the disciples went with him, and Jesus was transfigured, and two men showed up next to him, one on the right, one on the left. One was Elijah, and one was Moses. It was a representation of the transfiguration in the rapture, where we will change on our way. Does everybody get it? And so he was telling them, listen, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has an ears, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? Is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Look, a glutton and wine bearer, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by their children. Again, John came into the spirit of Elijah, which is to come. In the transfiguration, John carried the cry. He carried the cry of the Spirit. And this is where we are right now. If you truly are filled with the Spirit of God, you have a cry of the Spirit. And what is the cry of the Spirit? The cry of the Spirit. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because you know it is judgment time. You know it is shaking time. You know people are falling off and people are getting on. We are carrying the cry of the Spirit. If you are truly filled with the Spirit, you have a cry within you. And a cry doesn't mean weep. It means shout. In Isaiah 10, Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Repent. No playing games. Repent. Isaiah 40. Now you got to understand something about God's chastening and God's judgment. It's true. It's a true heart purpose. And it's to bring something which mankind doesn't comprehend. It's called humility. See, man is still fighting for their life when we've come to a place of surrendered life. It's called humility. Although there are many that are still not humble yet, but God will bring you to a place of humility. In Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is what? ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. We are watching this take place right now. The glory to God, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And how is he going to be revealed? Through us. All flesh shall see it together. And the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. Because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Again, is a cry out of judgment. It's to free the captives who've been taken captivity. And to make a way of escape. For he is coming in the wind, he is coming in the fire, he is coming in the plagues. He's coming in the shaking, he's coming in the famine, to bring life a life abundantly. The cry of freedom of sin and corruption is before God. Father is looking for those who have the cry of the Spirit. Repent, for your redemption draws nearer. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. The world is taken captive right now in distress. Worry, fear. They need to repent. Does anybody understand it? They just need to repent. Somebody needs to tell them repent. They don't even know what they're going to repent for because they don't, most of them don't even think they're doing anything wrong. Because they don't have enough time to search their own heart out. They're too busy in survival mode, not surrender at all. In verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says, in other words, when you see expressly says, it means he cries. The Spirit is crying out loudly. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. People have departed from the faith already, even though they're going to church. They go to church for their emotion, but they really don't connect. They've departed from the faith already, taking heed to deceiving spirits. And that deceiving spirit's called pride. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with what? Thanksgiving, for it is sanctified. Everyone say sanctified. By the word of God and what? And prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' tales, fables, and exercise yourself toward what? Godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For this is the end we both, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproaches because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Wow. These things command and teach. Expressing again, he's the cry of the Spirit. He's telling us command and teach. That means not only tighten up in your life, but express. Release. We're to be releasing the sound. 2 Timothy 4. Oh, happy days. This is the cry of the Spirit, not the cry of a baby. A lot of crybabies. They got Big Huey syndrome. Well, most people don't even know who Big Huey is today. It used to be a cartoon. It was a big baby. It used to have big diapers, man. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:1. Let's speak it. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what? Teaching. Do you see that? Convince. Rebuke. Hello, that's called a cry. Exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. You know, sometimes you don't need to explain anything to anyone. It's a simple word. Repent. I tell people, repent and try again. I mean, it's just that simple. Well, man, I don't know why I'm going through. No, because you probably haven't repented. What do I need to repent for? Whatever you're struggling with. There's a connection there. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Why? Because they can't wait on God. They are individuals of anxiety and stress and anxiousness. And God's trying to get them to a place of humility. How many of y'all know that when a person reaches a place of humility, it's also a place of healing, emotional healing, physical healing, mental healing. And it says here that for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Emotional doctrines. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. That's the cry of the Spirit. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Evangelizing is a release of the cry of the Spirit. Amen? You know, what God has given us needs to be shared. You know, we talk to many people all the time. And especially what's going on in the world, they don't even know. And when you begin to share with certain people, especially one of the things of the difference between blue and red. Yeah, it's a color. No kidding. But blue is associated with blue blood. Red is associated with Christ's blood. See, blue blood is the Nephilim race, seed of the serpent. Blue is associated with left. Red is associated with right. So when people talk about things out there and they don't even understand what's what, when you start telling them what is the left and what is the right, what God says about the left, that's going to hell, and the right's going to heaven. How do you become red? Repent. It's that simple. Again, we've got so much now that we've got such a wild opportunity to gather a harvest because of what's going on in the world. They don't know the truth. They want to know what's happening. I mean, we're sending out information, connecting and so forth, and I mean, constantly, almost every single day. Somebody's wanting to know something. I get texts all the time. What's happening? I'm thinking, why don't you know? People have been Christians 30 years and they still don't know. You know, because right now, those that do know, God is saying, parallel with me. Come on. We're going to both go out and cry. We're going to let that voice out and tell people, listen, time is short. I love you, but you need to repent. You need to turn from that way of life. What's going to happen? Again, the bride will come out of the body. The body will be a remnant. Does everybody get it? There are going to be people that are thinking they're going to make it home, but they haven't. But I'm in the body. God's coming for the bride. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3. The cry. The cry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I had a dream. It was many years ago. And I was driving a convertible, like a 55 or 57 Buick, red and white, red interior, it was gorgeous. And I was cruising, man. And I realized two of my dead relatives were in the back seat, but they were alive, rooting me on. Yes, let's go, let's go. I'm thinking, what the heck? Next thing I found myself going over this hill, and I ended up in Valencia College. And I was outside of this building where they had metal tables. There was all lunch there, and people were out there. And I got in the car, and I ran around, and I started shaking everyone. Said, he's coming! He's coming! I'm shaking everyone in this place. He's coming! And I'm crying out to the Father, going, Father, tell him you're coming! And I woke up. I said, snap. It keeps coming to me again. It's time to shake people up. That cry's got to be released. It is a prophetic cry. It is a prophetic time right now where your words aren't going to the ground. It's being released wherever you are, wherever you work, wherever you go. Hey, people wearing the mask, it's an opportunity. Why aren't you masked? You're veiled. You're veiled here and here. Why? Because of fear. They've been taken captive by fear. Now, don't get me wrong. I know sometimes you got to get something. You got to put your mask on. But you need to have something that says, come out, or something like that. This is a lie. I have one that says, who told you that? I can't find it, though. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Let's speak it together. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you what? Hear His voice. Don't harden your hearts as in rebellion. In a day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Why? Because they haven't repented. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another what? Daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of the anointing, Christ. If what? If we what? For we have become partakers of the anointing if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. For who has, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? Those corpses fell in the wilderness? Unto whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not what? Obey. So is repentance a part of obeying? Yeah. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Unbelief. Hearing his voice. See, the cry is a prophetic release. If you don't hear God's voice, you're not one that's going to cry. So, you know, you won't be releasing. It's a prophetic release. You must hear the voice of God to release it. Hearing his voice and releasing his cry. This is a prophetic release. Again, I'll say that again. Hearing his voice and releasing his cry. Romans 8. Hearing his voice, releasing his cry. So if you're not one that hears his voice, you're not going to release his cry. You're still fighting for your life. You know, one of the things that I find was one of the trickeries of the enemy is people get frustrated, so they seek more knowledge. They go, they're in stuff, and they seek more knowledge. If they'll seek more presence, knowledge will come. Does everybody get it? Because people, when you go after knowledge, understanding isn't there. But when you seek his presence, understanding is there, and knowledge is digested and interpreted. It's different. Does everybody understand that? Romans 8:14. That's why the word says, acknowledge the Lord in all of his ways. Amen? What are you doing? Well, if you're acknowledging, you're asking to get into his presence. Lord, please let your presence guide me. Show me where I'm supposed to go. How am I supposed to do this? Let your presence speak to me. Dress me with your presence. Fill me with your presence. Remember, it's his presence. It's everything to me and you. Without his presence, we're nothing. And you know what? You know when you're miserable. And it's not lack of knowledge. You have the knowledge. Man, I'm stinking miserable. Hello? You didn't need to look that up or Google it. Amen? You know when you're miserable. The reason why you're miserable is because you don't have God's presence. So if you go get more of his presence, because it says in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Amen? That's bottom line. Man, I must be lacking something. Yes, his presence. Well, I opened a door somewhere. Well, then go shut it and get filled. If you keep it open, you're going to leak. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 14. Romans 8:14. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. You know, that's not a small label. To be a son of God is phenomenal. To be a daughter of God Almighty is phenomenal. I mean, think about that. See, if there really truly is that relationship, and you know that you're his child, you know, he's your dad, then you know he owns it all. Amen? The world doesn't understand that. You know, but it's okay. They don't have to. As the judgment is chastening, as things begin to stir up and people are going, You can fill their uh-huh. Amen? You can fill it with truth, with a cry. And hopefully they'll repent and cry and turn. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. Look at this, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. So what is he doing? He's telling them, look it, man. You just got freed. Now you're back into bondage again? But you received the spirit of adoption by where we cry out, Daddy, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit's always telling, man, don't you know, you remember who you are. Don't let nobody steal your identity. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God. Come on, an heir of God? You're an heir of God? We're an heir of God? Snap. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs with the anointing. But again, everything is qualification. Getting qualified, maintaining. Amen? Promises are available to every single one, but there's a qualification to get to the promise. If indeed we suffer, hello, here comes the qualification. It's called suffer. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Amen? You know, right now we got to trust God's plan. And quit trying to adjust his plan. Trust his plan. Don't adjust his plan. Let him lead. It says those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Amen? It's a difference. It says, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Wow. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So, creation, the earth, everything that's created here, all creation, is under corruption. It's defiled. That's why judgment is here. God said, enough is enough. It's time. I've heard the cries of my people, just like I heard the cries when they were in Egypt. Now I'm hearing it not in just Egypt, not in China, not just in the United States, not just in Canada, Mexico. I'm hearing it from the whole world. He's hearing it, a cry from the whole world now. Does everybody understand? See, this awakening isn't just one country, not one nation, one city. It's global. This has never happened. Never. This is a worldly, global awakening. This has never, never happened. Does everybody get it? I mean, even when the world was destroyed by the flood, only 8 of them awoke. Amen? Everybody else was dead. They didn't get an opportunity. Well, God tried to awaken them, but they refused to. In verse 22, for you know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. Wow. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That's endurance. That means we're waiting to be led. Amen? We're waiting. But in the meantime, whatever we're doing, the cry is being released. Again, if you hear his voice, you're releasing his cry. Glory. The cry to the Father. Abba. Daddy. So you'll find yourself even singing songs, singing to him as dad. And the world's going to see God. No, the world's going to see my dad. Galatians 4. The cry of the Spirit. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Now I say that the heir... Is everybody there? Okay. And now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? And this is what's the falling away is happening right now. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear with you witness that if possible you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. I have therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. They jealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in the good thing always and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I have labored in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Until what? The anointing is formed in us. The Spirit of his Son. In Psalm 56. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody okay? You know, one of the things that the Spirit does is he opens our eyes to understanding, because you're going to start seeing more of the cry of the Spirit. It's like, wow. And you're going to want to partake in the cry of the Spirit. In Psalm 56, verse 1. Let's speak it. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. Their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape my iniquity In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will what? Turn back. This I know because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praise to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, and you have not kept my feet from falling. That I may what? Walk before God in the light of the living. I love this. He says, when I cried to you, my enemies will turn. Amen. In other words, when you release cries of God, his enemies are going to turn. Turn to who? Him. Hebrews 12. Yes. It is the cry of the Spirit, not the cry of a baby. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verse 7. Hallelujah. I guess we better start at 5. And you have forgotten exhortation which speaks to you as two sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In other words, they've accepted, they've learned from it. Amen? Again, part of our suffering sometimes is a part of chastening. God is doing all kinds of things to get his people into a place of humility, a place of position, a place of readiness, a place of surrender, and a place where they are totally leaning on him. Leaning on him. There's still people with suitcases in their hands. Amen? They're still unready. The problem is they're ready to run. They need to drop those suitcases. Because the suitcases will prevent you from getting in the Spirit. Holding on to all their stuff. They got all their valuables in there. Are you kidding? Everything I own's in there. Drop it. How can you lift your hands to heaven if you can't drop it? Amen? Chastening is for training. 2 Timothy 3. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 3. This is what we're dealing with right now. But it's all being exposed. Amen. Verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Hallelujah, you know it. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. I don't understand that part, but how can you be a lover of pleasure and not a lover of God and have a form of godliness? It's called religious spirit. Hallelujah. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. It's Christ, the anointing, its relationship. And from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord did what? Delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will love suffering. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse and worse and worse, and we see it today, and deceiving and being deceived, and we see it today. But you must continue in the things which you have heard and learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to save you, make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for all doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, or to release the cry. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close at Galatians 5. The cry of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? Eyes open, ears open, hearts following. Verse 16, Galatians 5:16. Let's speak it. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law of death. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, anything associated with that, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Wow. In other words, we should be parallel in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. But let us, if we truly are filled with the Spirit of God, then we carry the cry of the Spirit. Amen? Again, we are in such a critical transitional time. Don't worry about being offended. And don't worry about offending someone. Amen? Don't be anxious. Trust God. He's got it all. If you let Him. Amen? If you let Him. But remember, fear always interferes. Does everybody get it? Fear does what? Interferes. Hello. Praise God. Hold on to that one. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that You seal this seed that has been implanted in us, that we may carry the cry of the Spirit in humility and a contrite heart. Lord, we love You, we honor You, we need You, and we want to express what You're asking us to express, that we may release the cry of the Spirit in a prophetic mode to reach the hearts and minds, wills and desires of those who have been taken captive, that they may turn their hearts towards You in repentance and be rescued for the harvest in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.